from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is the Good Atheist.
Shame on you.
I
know you weren't expecting that because I'll just follow your lead, but you know what? For shame.
You know what? That's not fair. You cannot do that to me. You can't ambush me and keep saying, every podcast is going to be like, why didn't you even do another podcast, Jacob? Where are these podcasts? Why are they not being consistent?
Here's what I'm hoping. Negative reinforcement will make us do this on a weekly basis because, it's not my show. So I'm just going to, I follow your lead in that sense. But you sit me down on the couch, we do the show, and it's all good. All
right.
It's all you got to do.
Okay.
All you got to do. So tell us, what did me and you go see weeks ago?
We saw 2 weeks ago, actually. We went to go see the Expel No Intelligence Allowed movie. But before we talk about that, I just wanted to mention a little bit. There's a new redesign for the site. We're updating it a little bit more often.
We've decided, back before what we used to do was we'd see something interesting and we'd put it into a Google document and just kind of keep it around and then think about discussing it for the radio show. And then I'm like, why are we doing this? Why don't we share all of the linky goodness that we find with you guys on the site?
And in honor of that, we also sort of changed the look so it's a little less ghetto and a little bit easier to navigate through. It's got more of a bloggy feel before, I like the design look, but it was not very functional. It looked great, but you could only put 3 articles. I mean, it made it try to look like a magazine, but we are not a magazine.
It's like Pamela Anderson. Sure, she looks good, but there's
poisonous.
Hepatitis under the hood.
You know what she is? She is a death sentence. That's what she is. Now, I also wanted to start talking. I just wanted to mention before, I know this news is obviously very late, so if this is news to you, you
are
need
a bad
to go,
atheist.
You need to go out a little more. And the news is that George Carlin is dead. It's not really news. That's more like you knew this already.
And if you believed in God, you'd think he was in a happier place. But since we are godless heathens, he's just rotting in the ground. So it is very sad when someone dies.
It's really quite sad. I don't know how you guys can feel good about it. I feel pretty damn shitty about it. There will not be another George Carlin. And you know what? You get a feeling when a guy like that dies, who's replacing him? Huh? Dane Cook? Is this what we got?
And then Jim Carrey.
I don't know. Anyways, where are your angry men, huh? Where are the guys that want to be shit disturbers? Everybody wants to play it safe nowadays. Yeah. I get the feeling.
Well, and the guys that don't get any air. I mean, you got your what are these guys' names? There's a whole bunch of comedians out there that are really pushing the boundaries, but they don't get.
Well, there's Bill Maher who pushes the boundaries quite a bit. His movie is going to come out in July, Religulous.
Yeah,
he's on that boundary. He's kind of like our great white hope.
And how many times has he been taken off the air?
Oh, so many times. Now he's on HBO. His show is actually something that people should check out. I think it plays once a week.
Yep.
Real Time with Bill Maher. It's quite a good show.
Yeah, I agree completely.
It's one of those things where you always remember about it, but then you're just where you're thinking about it. But then when it goes to actually watching, you're like, oh, I forgot.
Yeah, exactly.
Feel a little stupid. Oh, well, that's what YouTube's for. So yeah, you know what? This is a tribute show to George Carlin. And by that, I mean that at any point, I could probably start swearing a lot when thinking about this movie.
Okay.
Because it makes me really mad. So I'm not mad right now because we haven't started talking about it, but we're going to. Now, you don't quite remember the movie because it's been a little bit too long and I allowed things to cool down.
I was high on Pepsi and buttered popcorn.
So much Pepsi. I don't even know why people eat popcorn in movie theaters. Why can't they eat chips? Why can't they sell chips?
And why don't people just eat zucchinis in movie theaters?
Oh, I love it.
And why don't they
eggplant?
Why don't they wear hats on their feet and put forks in their eyes?
It's not that outrageous.
I just have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay, well here's the when we went into the theater, we went on opening night. Here in Canada. Now, it opened in April back in the States, but we had to wait quite a while.
In select whatever's like. Yeah, probably for legal checking to make sure that they weren't opening themselves up to being sued for lying.
Well, when you make a movie, they don't really hold you up to snuff. But it's funny, too, because, at first I thought the reason that they're not bringing it up here is because there's absolutely no market. I mean, nobody's going to see this fucking movie.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, I was correct. When we went to the movie theater, there was Three other people. And one of them, I'm pretty sure, was some kind of teacher or professor, because he had that professorish look.
Yeah.
You know, dressed all crappy, little glasses, and the bad haircut. Salary can afford that garbage.
Sweater vest. And if you aren't teaching and you're wearing a sweater vest, shame on you.
You know what? Actually,
the only two people wear sweater vests, or three people. Mr. Dress-Up, professors, and child rapists.
That I was going to say that. Be like, if you really want to make people believe you're a teacher, but you're actually just hanging out in the student faculty trying to molest some kids, look like a teacher.
And here's the thing. For all you listeners out there, because I know there's lots of you, if you're wearing a sweater vest right now, don't get offended at what I'm saying. Just take the sweater vest off and pledge right now, I will never wear another sweater vest, for I am neither Mr. Dress-Up nor a child rapist.
Let me tell you something. If your sweater vest has patches on them, I mean, you're going to make me believe on the elbows. You're going to make me believe that it's just because it's worn out. That's bullshit.
Sweater vests don't have elbows. Sweater vests have no sleeves.
Or whatever.
You're talking about one of those smoking jackets.
Yeah. If you're wearing a smoking jacket and it's got patches on it, I mean, it's not for real.
You know, someday we're going to have to get this whole factual accuracy thing. We're talking about places being in different countries from different regions.
Oh, what? I get the sweater vest and then I get the, smoking jacket wrong, and all of a sudden, and I'm not a fashionista? Is this the fucking problem?
Here's the deal. I'm supposed to be the idiot and you're supposed to be the stupid. No, you're supposed to be the smart. See, I can't even get this right.
You're stupid.
You're supposed to be the smart one. You don't even know anything.
I don't know fashion. I think it's fairly obvious if you looked at how I was dressed.
You're ridiculous.
It is quite horrible.
So where were we going before we talked about the sweater vest? Okay, there was the professor.
There was a couple.
Yeah.
There was two people. They were obviously a couple. And I think that they were actually creationists because they seemed pissed off.
They seemed very... Well, the thing is...
They seemed very intense.
You spent the whole evening being very loud about everything that you were whispering to me. Like, that's actually not true at all. That's a lie. This is... Oh, my God. This is so stupid. And whenever they would say something really ridiculous, this is what you would do.
I know. I was that asshole in the theater. But to be fair, we did want to go to see this quite drunk. We had been drinking.
This is true.
This is also why the factual level of the shows tend to be a little low.
Mm-hmm.
We do drink a lot.
We do. And let me just say something. I after drinking all night, I was like, let's see Iron Man. And you were like, let's see Expelled. And I'm like, aw.
Yeah, that was a bad idea. But I just...
But we did it for this podcast. It's 2 weeks later.
And Ryan's feeling a little bit fuzzy on the whole situation. So I'm going to remind him how it kind of starts. Basically, I just want to give you a bit of a, not a history lesson, but just to put things into context. Basically, the creationists, or, the ID guys, intelligent design guys, however the fuck they want to call themselves, they have a new strategy now.
Mm-hmm.
And this movie epitomizes their strategy.
They're actually very specific about being called intelligent designs, because that's the whole thing. They're trying to separate themselves from being called creationists.
That was the first strategy. The first strategy was when creationism kind of like... Well, was obviously thrown out of schools. They said, well, we need a new, kind of paint on this puppy. So they called it intelligent design. It sounded okay. Sounded like
it also sounds more multi-ethnic. Like when you're talking about creationism, you got your Abrahamic. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
The creation story. But if you go for intelligent design, it can be Vishnu or Krishnu or Bishnu or Zeus or Thor or anybody else. It could be anybody.
It could be anybody.
A nice it's a glove that even OJ can fit into.
Yeah, there you go. So that was the first strategy, and then after that, basically what they tried to do is they were saying we need to teach the controversy. And by that was trying to create this image that there was a lot of debate happening in science about whether or not natural selection and evolution was actually happening. They've switched sides again because they keep getting screwed over. They keep getting fucked. So now they've changed. Now what they want to do is they want to emphasize the idea that intelligent design should be allowed, in schools based on intellectual freedom. They want to take that idea and be like, and that's how the movie starts. Be like, this is a free country, blah, 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 the home of democracy.
Yeah, and throughout the entire movie, it was very interesting because they kept on using stock footage from, like propaganda film, ironically enough, propaganda footage showing, life beyond the Berlin Wall. And they used that Berlin Wall symbology throughout the entire film, saying that The scientific community was basically
a giant wall of terror, of intellectual terrorism.
Yeah, and when you're on the wrong side of the wall, you're basically like those East Germans that don't get to do nothing but shot put and high jump and other things to win medals.
And have very, very mannish women.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So yeah, basically that's how they start. But the most insulting thing at the beginning of the movie that they try to pass off is that you see the credits rolling while you're watching like all this World War II kind of Nazi imagery. You know, like they'll put a name in a street sign, you know, right beside like the Jewish ghettos as people are sort of like, you know, look emaciated or being held or sent off in trains and that kind of shit. And you're wondering, what the fuck is this movie about here? Am I watching a documentary on the Second World War? Oh, no, I'm watching one on intelligent design. Oh, that's weird. Until you begin to understand that they make two things. Number one, I already mentioned it before. They want to kind of give you this idea that they're somehow being repressed. That big science is they literally call it that. Big science is keeping them down.
There was something else that the Darwinist faction. There we go. Darwinist
they always faction. Use that word Darwinist. You don't believe in evolution. You are a Darwinist. That's what you are. Mm-hmm. Forget evolution. You're a Darwinist.
Mm-hmm.
And what's really convenient about this word Darwinist too is because I mean if you're gonna follow and read and believe what Darwin wrote, you know, in the 19th century, sure, you might look a little out of date. You know, it's kind of easy to poke holes into a theory that's a few, you know, like that's over a century old. So it's just, you know, you're basically, it's an easy target, right? Mm. That's the first part. But also, like, this weird idea that everyone associates themselves as Darwinists, there are many different types of evolutionary biologists. There are some that actually don't believe in natural selection. Therefore, would not be Darwinists themselves. But obviously, that's all details that I don't think I need to go into.
Yeah,
because you look like you're glazing over.
No. Well, I mean, one of the things that bugged me, because I'll tell you from my idiotic point of view, as that is what I'm here to explain.
Now, don't put yourself down.
It's okay. I know my role. It's okay.
I know what I am.
So you got... The beginning of the movie where they were basically saying that, you know, these people inside the scientific community are getting shit kicked for believing, for trying to push the theory of intelligent design. And you know what? I'll say this. They did a pretty good job of that. And I can honestly believe that anybody in the scientific community that says, intelligent design, they would probably get persecuted pretty badly. And there would be a lot of guys with sweater vests out there going like, we need to get this guy fired because he is insane. Well, so in that way, they did a really good job of selling that idea of the repression and everything. But you know where they lost me? They lost me when they tried to tie Darwinism and evolution to eugenics.
Well,
and to Hitler and to the whole Jewish, the Jewish problem, as it were.
Well, here's the funny thing. I mean, They had about, I think it's six people that they really showcased. But what was really hilarious about those guys, I mean, you would have thought, again, like you, your first thought is, well, there must be some really big stories about people getting, you know, shit kicked out of their position, being completely persecuted. But here's the weird thing. These six people, the circumstances around them getting quote-unquote fired is so made up. That it's not, they're not even telling you the truth. Like, for instance, one of the guys, the first guy, I think his name is Ricardo. Hold on, I wrote this down. His name is...
Ooh, we're doing a little bit of research before shows now.
I know. Richard Sternberg, which was the first guy that they showcased. Mm-hmm. He said he was working at the Smithsonian, and he was, he pushed through basically a paper for on one of the their publications that was, according to the movie, pro-intelligent design, right? And that somehow got him ostracized, he got fired, so on and so forth. Well, the biggest problem, he was never hired. He was a volunteer at the Smithsonian. That's it. He was never hired or fired to begin with. He was an unpaid intern. And they just didn't choose to... They didn't even discipline him. First of all, he broke the peer-reviewed process, but since he wasn't really hired, they didn't need to fire him. They just said, well, you kind of broke the rules and you pushed this through and... Unfortunately, you can no longer be a volunteer here.
Well, that's some pretty good semantics. Good point, Jake, with those semantics. The fact that you
can't get fired if you don't work somewhere first.
Mm-hmm.
And besides, so actually,
they just said you can no longer come to the Smithsonian and work here.
No, they basically said we no longer need your services. It happens all the time.
That's good semantics,
but
buddy.
Consider this. The fact of the matter is they have interns that rotate and cycle through the Smithsonian all
uh-huh.
the time.
Uh-huh.
He had already been there for a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you think it smells fishy, you're putting on a tinfoil hat here.
I'm not putting
and
on
this,
a
this,
tinfoil hat.
And this happened years before he even made a complaint about it, right? And the funny thing, too, about that, the particular of the paper, is it wasn't actually on intelligent design. It was actually on the creation of life. But the other thing that was really kind of funny, too, they didn't mention, is the article was so poorly written that it made the magazine look bad. I mean, forget about the science. They just said there was like constant errors, grammatical errors, editorial errors. Mm-hmm. It was a giant piece of shit. It was a steaming pile of shit.
Okay.
And then the guy publishes that in a serious scientific paper, and he's like, why am I no longer a volunteer at this serious museum? Because you fucked up, dude. You fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
And he messed up. And another example was the astronomer, I believe his last name is Gonzalez. They were saying he was denied tenure and he wasn't able to continue. Well, people don't understand. You and I don't understand this, but tenure is not easy to get. Mm-hmm. Tenure is basically you are hired for life. You cannot get fired.
Yeah, it's very true. Tenure is like that golden goose, man. Everybody wants it, but...
not everybody gets it.
Oh, not anybody. Not barely. Very few teachers get tenure.
Very few. And the problem was one of the main reasons he did not get tenure is because he was not able to make grant applications that... because, you make proposals, mm-hmm. right? Research proposals, and you apply for grants. But he hadn't done any serious proposals, and the school wasn't making any money. And most of the papers that he had published, because they said something, he had published 60 papers, a majority of these were just corrections on some of the papers he had published before, or just his interpretation of what somebody else had written. So it's not even any original work. Mm-hmm. He had done all of his really, not to denigrate him, because he was, a good astronomer. But he was a good astronomer in his prime. He did all of his work during his doctoral, thingamajiggy.
Mm.
And after that, he just pretty much coasted. And then he wonders why he didn't get, tenure.
Mm-hmm.
And the journalist girl, not the journalist girl, the biology teacher, she wasn't even fired. She wasn't tenured to start with.
Yeah.
And they didn't continue her contract. But most of the complaints didn't actually come from the faculty, they came from students because she was actually seriously pushing the intelligent design in biology class, and people felt that their education suffered as a result.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't even have, I don't actually think they went to review, they just asked her if she would just step down, and she volunteered to do so.
Okay, well, let's step back a little bit, because you're talking specifics and you're saying, well, in these very specific circumstances...
No, but I'm talking... Those are,
I know, yeah. but let's step back and let's look at it at a whole.
Sure.
Do you not think that there are people out there who, are in positions in educational institutions who do believe in intelligent design and that feel that they got to keep that under wraps because it will impede their ability to... be in high standings or be respected by other professors and move forward in their choice of careers? Do you really believe, because, I mean, we've talked about this before, the idea of good luck trying to get any kind of serious government position or something like that, or even in a lot of fields, you got to watch out with who you tell that you're an atheist because it very well could affect your ability to get that job, that promotion, to do this and do that. So you're saying that on the flip side of the coin, in the scientific community, you don't think that there are situations where people are keeping their beliefs under wraps because they're afraid of how it's going to be taken, and that it could affect their careers.
No, I won't deny that. But I will say this, that a majority of these people normally choose different schools to work in.
The ridiculous Christian educational foundations and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, even then, there are schools that are actually, the quality of the schools themselves are increasing. But to be truthful, I mean, if you have a radical scientific theory, okay, it doesn't matter if it's intelligent design or something else. I mean, there are chances that if you mention it, people will kind of be like, well, that's a little weird. Put your money where your mouth is. Mm-hmm. I mean, the whole scientific community is a pretty competitive place. And if you want to remain competitive, you got to remain cutting edge. If all of a sudden you're bringing first century platitudes into the discussion, yeah, you're going to be left behind.
But right there, you're putting your own hang-ups onto the... onto the theory of intelligent design
The problem is it doesn't qualify even as a theory.
Mm-hmm.
See, we use theory as the word with a small little t, right? Mm-hmm. Where it's just, I have this idea,
yeah,
and I'm just going to present this idea. But mm-hmm. a theory in science is a model that you can use to predict something.
Mm-hmm.
If you are if you believe in intelligent design, you present no model. Mm-hmm. You just have a belief. Mm-hmm. And a belief in the scientific community is all well and good, but mm-hmm. it doesn't mean that it's science.
Mm-hmm.
So unfortunately for these guys, I mean, do they hold their beliefs privately? There are plenty of people that are religious that don't privately hold their beliefs, and it doesn't affect you know, either their tenure or their careers.
Mm-hmm.
But someone who thinks they have a theory when they don't, they're not going to be taken seriously within the scientific community. I will not deny that. But at the same time, they're not doing science. So, of course, they're not going to be taken seriously. If you were a Ray alien, you know, those people who believe that the Earth was populated by aliens?
The ones that have sex up in Northern
Yes,
Quebec?
They have so much sex. It's ridiculous.
Man, they're awesome.
They are awesome. Why am I not a Ray alien again? Because, oh, yeah, that's because they're crazy.
Yeah, and they're usually, yeah. A lot of them are like 45 years old, and they kind of like, you know, Ray aliens love their food.
Yeah, they don't do a lot of exercise unless you count, you know, sort of
alien overlord Glarbrok says...
No, it was Elohim. No, their aliens are called the Elohim.
Okay, the Elohim say it's okay to eat McDonald's.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah. Thank Elohim.
Thank Elohim. So, but anyways, if a guy was privately a Ray alien or believed in, you know, or had any such strange belief that actually affected his mm-hmm. work, then, yeah, he's probably going to be really reluctant to say it. Is there a massive conspiracy where big science has decided we must, you know, totally trounce these guys right out? I don't even think it's necessary. I mean, it's not as though it's like a big club that you come in and they give you a fucking ring and say, you are now science.
Well, let me just, my whole problem with it is, with the whole situation is how big science, quote unquote, how everybody kind of tries to sugarcoat it. They're like, oh, we didn't get rid of them because they should be like, yes, we got rid of them because they believe in this. Because look at this. You've got people in educational positions who are basically sabotaging people's education, sabotaging different models. Because when you have someone that believes something that's completely not true and incorporates that into their educational model, It completely, you know, puts up to question everything else that they base everything else on.
Well, you know, it's funny.
So why not just be truthful about it and be like, listen, if you believe in stupidity and if you believe in this stuff here, you can't teach biology, you can't do this, you can't do that, because you're making science dumber.
Well, the problem is you're fighting a fucking PR war is what you're fighting. Mm-hmm. Because these guys are really, really good with rhetoric. Okay, mm-hmm. They will make you believe, if you're not careful, that what they're slinging at you isn't a steaming pile of shit. It's mm-hmm. actually a theory, and it's not. But they keep presenting this idea of being like, well, why don't you listen to me and hear me out here. Basically, that life is so complex that it couldn't have happened by accident forth.
Let's get away from that rhetoric. Let's look at the idea.
But what I'm saying here is that if you could go over and say, we did it, it was completely justified, these guys are retards, fuck them. And I'm like, well, that's probably maybe even the truth.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, when you're fighting this PR war mm-hmm. against these very sophisticated jackasses, then you might lose. Then you look bad. And that's what Expelled tried to do. They tried to make all those guys look bad. And they look bad.
Yeah, it's true. You got Hitchens and who's that other guy again?
Dawkins.
Those are the fuck-ems of the atheist
I know.
World.
You're asking them to be like that. And yet you said to me, Jacob, don't be that way. You gotta sugar quote things. Because, you know, the spoonful of medicine you're serving is a little bitter.
Here's the deal, though. You got your two extremes. And quite frankly, I find them both disgusting. I find them both offensive and wrong. You got the apologists where they're like, oh, well, we didn't get rid of this guy. He was there. He was a volunteer. And we never fired him because we never hired him. Blah. And then you got the other guys are like, fuck him. You got to have that thing in the middle where you're like, listen.
But I just described the middle.
You can't have these guys releasing papers that aren't peer-reviewed, that ain't right. You know, there's got to be that firm middle ground, for God's sakes. And that's all I'm saying.
All right. Well, I mean, I tried to go in that direction, but you would be like, wow, you're just being like them. No, I was still being firm. These people were retarded, okay? Like that bitch was trying to teach, you know, intelligent design in biology class. I think those students paid to get a decent education. And meanwhile, you're what, breaking out the Bible? Turn to Leviticus, people, and we're going to learn about, you know... turn to Genesis, and we're going to learn about...
There you go. Because isn't Leviticus where they say that you can't be gay and you can't do anything funny, you can't...
Leviticus is also the one where a guy's two daughters rape him.
Oh, yeah, that one.
Yeah, yeah. Lot, the story of Lot. If you want to fucking tell a story at a campfire, tell the story of Lot. There's a damn story. Damn, that's messed up.
Indeed.
That is messed up.
Oh, the Old Testament is great like that. So let's move on to the next chapter. What's the next part?
What I want to talk about a little bit is, because I want to also mention how Ben Stein is trying to appear in this movie. There's a scene at the beginning and at the end, because they try to tie it together, where he walks out to an auditorium filled with people that are there apparently to listen to him. What's funny about this behind-the-scenes kind of shit that you did not know is the fact that most of the people that were in the audience, about 90% of them, were actually paid people. But they went specifically to a Christian university, and a majority of people were not interested in going, which only demonstrates that even just because you're a goddamn Christian doesn't mean you believe in intelligent design. Some of them have, a sense in their damn heads. But it's funny that they have these paid actors, and he's there, and they're all clapping. He's saying, "Oh, I'm here to fight for you guys, and I'm going to seek the truth because you're being repressed." And it's a photo op. It is bullshit. I mean, it's like cardboard. It's like this entire movie.
I don't really care about that kind of stuff. It's artistic license. I think it's nitpicky for you to argue with that when there's much bigger things that we can
talk about.
No, but
I mean, it's one of the things I don't want to talk about. The other thing that I really hate, I don't know what you thought of this. I'm sure you didn't care. But there's one particular part when he's in Westminster Abbey, which is where Darwin is buried, and there's a big statue
of Darwin,
him.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, he decides he's going to stare him down, because this is the particular point in the movie where he says that basically Darwinists were eugenicists, and this is responsible for the Holocaust. That's the segue, boy.
Yeah, here's the whole deal with that. I mean, as far as Ben Stein goes, I'm not going to hate on Ben Stein for doing that, because as far as I could tell, Ben Stein really believes that Darwinism led to eugenics, led to all sorts of terrible things. So if I was Ben Stein, I would be pissed off too, and I would stare him down, and I would make him look bad in my movie. Now, that being said, the links between Darwinism and eugenics is, it's a pretty damn big, step.
Well, here's the funny step, and they didn't mention this because I think that it's a tired little thing. Francis, was it Galton or Galton? I think it's Galton. Anyways, he was Darwin's cousin. He's the one that actually started the whole eugenics movement.
Mm-hmm.
So there is kind of that family connection, right? He was highly influenced by the writing of his cousin and the writing of a guy called Thomas Malthus,
mm-hmm.
who basically wrote, he was one of the first people to really talk about how if you grow, say you grow crops,
yeah.
right? Well, the population breeds exponentially while your crops can only, double if you're really productive. So they can never have enough, and therefore populations will starve and die. And that's kind of like the idea of natural selection.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, what the whole eugenics movement was sort of taking that idea of saying, well, the survival of the fittest. If one organism is more fit in that particular environment, then it will succeed, mm-hmm. and then that's it. Perhaps
who
human beings
moves faster will survive the bear thing, because the bear will eat the slower
the
person.
Bear.
Yeah.
That okay. The bear.
Yeah,
but anyways, in a place where there may be no bears or tigers, where there may be other concerns.
What a boring place.
It's definitely less exciting,
mm-hmm.
isn't it? It's like that movie 10,000 BC would have not been even as good, if I can use that word. Had it not been for the tigers and
the
bears.
The gigantic CG tiger?
Yeah, there you
yeah.
go. But anyways, my point is this, that they thought, that his cousin thought that pretty much the same could be applied, or artificial selection could be applied to humans to make humans that would be healthier, fitter.
Mm-hmm.
The funny thing about the movie is it kind of like makes this idea that, well, these were all scientists that believed in that, and they pushed for it. And all scientists are atheists. Everybody knows that.
Mm-hmm.
But what's really funny about that is that the Methodist and Presbyterian churches in the United States, when they initiated their own eugenics program, because we had a fucking eugenics program until the 1950s or 60s,
mm-hmm.
Where they sterilized people that were mentally handicapped.
Oh, yeah, there was all sorts of stuff like that going on.
Oh, yeah, they were crazy back then. But the churches were completely behind the movement. They
mm-hmm.
believed in fitter families. They wanted to see kind of, all of these disease and problems go away, and they thought that this was a really great thing. Everybody thought it was a really great thing. They were like, what's the problem? We just burnt off his testicles. There's no issue here. It's all good. It's
mm-hmm.
for the greater good.
Mm-hmm.
And, obviously not.
No. I mean, my whole thing about eugenics is, well, it seems like a good idea in principle when you think about the idea, okay, well, the best breed with the best, and that makes everybody even better. Do you know how many like supermodels and athletes have fucking flipper babies and autistic kids?
Well, the funny thing about that is that the experiment, basically in Germany, they had for a few years they bred their perfect Aryan race, right? They had blonde-haired tall guys, you know, dating other blonde-haired tall women, beautiful women, and that kind of stuff. And they over time they tested them, and they were actually genetically less fit.
Mm-hmm.
Than mutts like me. And the reason is just because you can't decide what are the factors that are going to make you more fit or less fit. It's not suddenly because you're fucking faster that you're going to be better at surviving. There are other factors to consider, like your resistance to disease, you know, basically whether or not you have recessive genes or not. And if, tell you what, you marry or have sex with somebody that looks kind of like you, maybe you were related a little while ago. It's best to kind of actually go as far away from your breeding
circle.
A wider gene pool. And that's what, I guess at the time they didn't really understand this because they didn't understand how genes work. They just thought, well, it's like a banana or whatever.
Okay, well, I mean, I get the whole idea that eugenics is wrong, and plus it's a pretty morally brutal fucking thing to get into, because once you get into the nitty-gritty details, it always involves stopping retarded people from doing stuff, and God knows everybody's stupid, so you'd have to stop them from doing everything. So, I mean, we understand that, but let's get back to the movie and talk a little bit more about how they're linking evolution with eugenics.
Well, they want to do that first connection where they're scientists. That's their first thing. Well, these are scientists. And, you know, it's like that whole fear that a scientist will come up with an idea and all of a sudden we're going to misuse it because these scientists don't care.
The bomb.
They're materialistic atheists.
Mm-hmm.
They just believe that only things are guided by natural causes, and therefore they don't care about life. They don't care about the dignity of the human soul. They just want to kill people indiscriminately. They're monsters, Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the idea that they want to sell. And it's a fucking load of crap. Just because you believe that everything is based on natural causes, does that make you a psycho?
It was only the German scientists who were all evil.
Sure. Okay, we'll go with that. But it's funny, too, because the majority of these German scientists were religious individuals themselves. They weren't atheists. Mm. I mean, they had an idea. The problem...
And their morality basically stemmed to the idea of the ends justified the means, which is a pretty scary one sometimes.
It's pretty damn scary. I mean... There is nothing that will guarantee the fact that any one person will have either a great respect or disrespect for life. There's just no common factor. There's no way to determine that.
Mm-hmm.
A monster could be an atheist, like he could be a goddamn Christian, like he could be a Hindu. It doesn't matter. Monsters are monsters. They're bred in all different kinds of ideologies. The difference, though, is when somebody becomes marred and enamored by an ism. You know what I mean by an ism?
Mm-hmm.
Like... This is the problem when you have an ideology that you're just suddenly so married to that you don't care about everything else. You don't care if somebody goes over and says, hey, eugenics doesn't work, it's wrong, and it's crap. And you're like, I don't care. This is my ism. I've married it, and I care about it now.
Well, this is how they're portraying Darwinism. This is what they're saying, is that Darwinists are so in love with their idea that they're ignoring a lot of factual evidence. And, you know, the movie really tried to discredit a lot of scientists by showing them giving hokey answers. They showed Dawkins talking about space aliens.
Yeah, space aliens.
That to me was, because I've heard Dawkins talk about the space aliens thing in one of his books. And it was really tricky because they set him up for that. They said, what kind of situation could an intelligent design scenario actually be true? And Dawkins actually says the space aliens one is pretty much the most likely one, just to explain how unlikely
just
intelligent...
Just how foolish it sounds.
Yeah, but they really made him sound stupid in that movie.
Yeah, and wow, he believes it's space aliens.
Yeah, and it's like, no, he absolutely doesn't believe in intelligent creationism at all.
It's funny, too, because one of the things that they always focus on, and this is their main focus, too, they don't focus on evolution, because they know that if they go to these giants, these evolutionary biologists, who know their shit... And they ask them about any kind of principle, like why is it that how can information become more complex over time, and if there's such a law as entropy, or
mm-hmm.
these are some of the common things that
yeah.
they ask. But they don't ask that because they know that these guys have answers for it. So they focus on one thing, the origin of life.
Mm-hmm.
That's their focus. But intelligent design isn't focused on the origin of life. It's not even about the origin of life. It's just saying, well, it's really complex, therefore it denotes intelligence.
What? You know what my big problem with the whole origins of life and saying that intelligent design somehow answers the origins of life Because, I mean, it's that whole stupid argument, can God make something so heavy
even
he can't
listen?
But look at the idea of them saying, well, something can't come from nothing, so God must have created it. Or something like that. But I'm like, then who created God?
It's always the funny question.
It's that same thing. It's like, if something can't come from nothing, then how did God come from nothing? Well, God just can do that. He just can. And that's how he can. Well, why can't something else? How do you know dirt just can't come from nothing? If God came from nothing and he's pretty fucking amazing, then why can't tiny little subatomic particles come into existence?
Well, you touched the nail on the head here. I mean, the reason why ID isn't even a theory is because...
Did I touch it or did I wham it?
You whammed it! You bammed it. You wham-bammed it. Nice. But the reason is because as soon as you have an explanation that is more complicated than what you were trying to explain, it's crappy. It's like trying to explain, well, how did this... I don't know. How did this rock go there? It's a fairly simple question, right? And all of a sudden, if you decide that the answer is an alien created it in a lab and then teleported it down, this is a bit of a complicated explanation. Maybe it's just the process of, rocks and sediments getting together under pressure.
But then
I don't
how
know.
Do those do it? It's like going breaking it down to the simplest common thing and breaking it down and breaking it down until all of a sudden it's like, well, at this point... we don't quite know yet. And it's like, ha!
I know. We can show the first few nanoseconds of the creation of the universe. Just nanoseconds, right? And somebody's like, well, what happened before then? Goddamn, are you not satisfied? We're getting there. We're getting closer and closer. Just give us some time. No, it's God did it. Be like, buddy, you suck. You know, it's the whole God in the gaps argument anyways. As soon as you can't explain something, it's like you wake up, where are my keys? God must have hidden them. No, there's probably an explanation. Just dig a little deeper.
Unless your roommate is God, because he was the one that took
them.
He
would be a terrible, terrible roommate. He would do shit to you, and then he wouldn't even tell you why he did it.
Because who locked us out today? Was it God?
No,
it was our roommate.
Our roommate locked us out accidentally. Mm-hmm. So, but you see, if it was God, he would have done it. And you would be like, what the fuck, dude? And he would just be like, I work in mysterious ways. That's just too bad for you.
Yeah,
I have a divine plan. And my divine plan was to lock you motherfuckers out.
For no reason. Yeah.
All right, was there anything else that you wanted to touch on this? I mean, I just want to
What's the day? Is it the 6th today?
It is... The 6th, yeah.
I want you to make a pledge on the air right now as to when the next show is coming out.
I have to make an on-air pledge?
An on-air pledge.
That sounds risky. Okay, you know what? We'll record another show next Sunday.
Oh, nice. We're totally flying in the face of God that way.
and if I don't do it, may God strike me down. May he strike me down right now. I'm wearing an antenna on my head. You guys can't see this, but
it's part of the initiation rite of getting into the Raelian so we can have lots of sex.
Yeah, well, we already discussed they're a little bit gross and fatty.
Yeah,
you know,
indeed.
Why can't there be a cult that's all about sex but also about working out and looking fit?
We grew up in the wrong era. That was the fucking 70s.
No, they were all skinny because they were on drugs and they weren't eating.
Hey, skinny's good.
I know, but I like fit, not skinny.
Yeah, well...
When you can't have, you know, if that's your only option, you know, you got chunky or you got, you know, skinny from drugs, I guess you'll do the skinny.
I will do skinny from drugs, I will.
That's a pleasant way to end the show.
It is.
All right, everybody. With that, we're going to wrap things up. I am, as always, your host, Jacob Forte.
And I am that other guy, Ryan Harkins. Oh.